Okay, so again, we're towards the latter part of Philippians. Philippians is a it's a very encouraging book. If you remember when we started the class, I recommended looking at a YouTube video from the Bible Project on Philippians. Did any of y'all get a chance to look at that? A few of you did. Basically, the main point of that video was, I guess you could also say the main point of Philippians was that there's this central focus. Everything's pointing back to chapter 2 where it says your mindset should be the same as Jesus Christ. And so throughout the book, he's bringing up examples of different people illustrating that that mindset. So today, as we go through the class, we're going to start in verse 10 through 23, as you can see, and chapter 4, verse 10 through 23. And we'll be talking about the mindset of Christ and how Paul had it, how the church had it. We'll be talking about Paul's contentment and our contentment. And we'll be talking about the Philippian generosity and our generosity. Okay, so basically the example's being set for us so that we can too have the mindset of Christ. So we'll start out with the topic on the mindset of Christ. And again, Philippians 2:5, going back a few weeks, says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. One translation talks about in your relationships with one another, have the mindset that was also in Christ Jesus. So it's about the mindset. It's about thinking, seeing other people, seeing life the way Jesus did. So that's the central theme of the letter. So let's start with our text. In chapter 4, verse 10, it says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. So, and we'll find out in a few verses that basically what he's talking about is he had received their gift that they had sent through Epaphroditus. And so he was here rejoicing that they had at last renewed their concern for him. Okay? But, you know, it wasn't the fact that he'd received a gift. You know, presumably money, could have been food, could have been something else. But it's not that he received something from them. It's not the gift. It was the fact that they had demonstrated concern for him that brought him joy. So, you know, is probably not the natural reaction of the average human being. He goes on and says, indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. It's kind of like he says, at last, you've renewed your concern. It's not like he's saying, you know, I've been waiting, I've been expecting this, you know, where have you been? That's not what he's saying here, because he says, I know that you've been concerned, but you didn't have an opportunity. We'll find out a little bit more about that later. You know, the Philippian church did know that Paul was in prison, and, you know, they were concerned for him, but it says here, Paul says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, they had no opportunity to show it, and he realized that. So, you know, in just what we've read, how is Paul demonstrating the mindset of Christ? This is a question for the audience. How here is Paul demonstrating the mindset of Christ? Not jumping to conclusions and assuming that they don't care, right? Okay, anything else? Okay. I mean, I think that's the main thing. Here, he's understanding, he's seeing it through their eyes, isn't he? He realizes the challenges they're facing. He brings that to mind as he's thinking, well, they haven't sent anything yet, but I know their situation, and I understand. So he's looking at it through their eyes. He's not looking not only about his own concerns, but also theirs. Now, how does the Philippian church, in what we've read already, demonstrate the mindset of Christ? Peter.
Well, first, their ongoing concern for Paul. He's out of sight. It's easy to be out of mind, but
yep.
Clearly not out of mind.
Right.
And just the energy in putting together, you know, here's a gift. We're going to do something. Again, it's the sacrifice of giving in some form, whatever form makes sense.
Right. Yes, exactly. So they were concerned, number one, and number two, they sent a gift. Those are two ways that they demonstrated the mindset of Christ. And we'll find out as we go on further that it was not easy for them to do that, which is yet more of a demonstration of the mindset of Christ. Because what Christ did was not easy either, was it? Right? But he did it. Okay. If we go on, verse 17, it says, not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. So that's skipping ahead a little bit. But basically, you see that Paul here is not looking for the gift, but he is more interested in something that's going to bring a blessing to the Philippian church. So when you're thinking about, encouraging somebody to do something good, there's two different motives you might have for that. One of them being, you just want them to do it, and trying to get them to do what you think they ought to do. But the other one is, you want them to receive a blessing for doing something that God wants them to do. Okay, and that's the mindset Paul had. Focused on what would benefit the Philippian church. Not his own interest, but theirs. So let's go back to verse 11 and 12. He says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. Whatever the circumstances, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have heard the secret. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. So, again, Paul was able to be contented. All right, where is Paul right now? He's in prison, right? I mean, at this point when he was writing this, right now he's not there anymore. But he says, I am not saying this because I am in need. Put yourself in Paul's shoes. You're in prison. You're relying on your friends to supply your needs. They're not really doing anything for you here in this prison other than keeping you chained up, right? So what would your attitude be in prison, right? Would you be able to say what Paul just said? I think it would be tough. We'd be saying, come help me. I need your help. I'm having a hard time. Look at what they're doing to me. It'd be all about me, right? But he says, he was saying this because he says, I've learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. Contentment. Think about that. Could you be content? What are the things that cause you not to be content? And how do you learn contentment, and what are the things that cause you not to be contented? Peter.
Yeah, so what I discovered about myself is my contentment comes a lot more from my expectations than my needs. So when I expect to have free time to go do something and someone takes away the free time, I'm not content. But it didn't matter. It wasn't about what happened. So I think Paul's secret there is, I'm accepting what God gives rather than, my personal things. I get discontented because my plans aren't going my way.
Okay.
Rather than surrendering that to God and saying, He's got it.
Sure. You remember in chapter 3 where Paul talks about he wants to be like Christ in his suffering and even in his death. He wants to suffer with Christ. So it's not that he's trying to avoid the suffering. The suffering, in one sense, he's content with the suffering, right? Which is a foreign concept, really, to the natural mind, right? To be content with suffering. You always want to get out of suffering. But he learned through his suffering how to be content in that situation. Okay? He knew what it was to be in need, what it was to have plenty, well-fed or hungry, plenty in want. He said, I've learned the secret of being content. What is that secret? On the next slide.
I'm sorry.
Okay, the next slide on my screen, but not on yours. Yeah. All right. What is the secret? This is the next slide. The next slide. This is, there you go. I can do everything through Him who gives you strength. So, again, he's trying to suffer with Christ. He's trying to be like Christ. He wants to know Christ, and he's really looking forward to the resurrection at the end of that passage in chapter 3. And so that's how he gets his strength, from Christ, from the fact that Christ has made those promises to him, and Christ is helping him as he shares in that suffering with Christ. A Roman prison couldn't keep him from Jesus. What keeps you from Jesus? What robs you of the strength that comes from Jesus? Okay, you can flip. Yeah, there you go. So the yellow means that there's a question you can answer. Okay. So what robs us of that strength?
Relying on ourselves,
okay, not focusing on Jesus, not wanting to, not seeking to know him better, maybe. Okay, what else? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yeah, feeling entitled. You know, who had more right to feel entitled than Paul, right? You know, bringing the gospel to the whole Gentile world, right? And all the things he had given up before, it's kind of like, okay, now, God should take care of me now because look at what I've done. You ever think that? You know, God will take care of me because look at what I've done. You know, it doesn't work that way. It didn't work that way for Paul. But he got his strength not from looking back and thinking how good I am. He got it from looking at Jesus and what Christ has done for him. Okay? Let's move on and talk about Philippian generosity. Okay, he goes on in verse 14. He says, "Yet it was good for you to share my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need." I want to unpack that a little bit. Look at what he's talking about. Because he's talking about things we've read in the book of Acts. Things we talked about in our first class on this series. And I want to make sure that we connect that. So the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, that's in Acts 16, isn't it? That's where Paul shows up. He meets Lydia and baptizes her. She says, "If you consider me a believer, come stay with me." Then he... You know, there's this uproar. He gets arrested, gets into jail, and then the prisoner, you know, the prison guard, the Philippian jailer, is converted after an earthquake. So anyway, we talked about all that. But that's the early days of their acquaintance with the gospel. It began there in chapter 16. And then he goes on and talks about when I set out from Macedonia, when I left. Remember, Philippi is in Macedonia, right? When I set out from Macedonia, let's see where that was. Let's take a look at the map. So, if you remember, here's Philippi with a big yellow arrow, which is not really there. It's just on the map, right? So if you want to find Philippi, you can't rely on the yellow arrow. But from Philippi, remember what happened at the end of of chapter 16? He was, you know, basically... They suddenly realized that they had imprisoned this Roman citizen, and they were all upset, and they said, "Okay, let us make it up to you." And they wanted him to leave. He says, no, you're going to have to come escort me out of town. And so they did. But he left. And when he left, he just kind of went through Amphipolis and Apollonia and wound up in Thessalonica, right? And he stopped in Thessalonica because there was a synagogue there, right? And he always began his evangelism of a new place at the synagogue. So he went to the synagogue in Thessalonica. There were Jews there. There was quite a few Jews there, as it turns out. And so he converted some of them, but then there was a riot. The Jews stirred up a riot, and then they chased him to Berea. He goes to Berea, and they're more noble, right? And he converts a bunch of them. But then the people in Thessalonica heard about it. They came to Berea and stirred up another riot. Okay, and so he had to leave. So they, you know, these guys just were not noble. Let's just put it that way. So at any rate, and he had to leave. And when he left, he had this long tour or long travel to Athens, which is chapter 17, right? And it's still in chapter 17 when he left Thessalonica, Berea. He's still in chapter 17. He goes to Athens, and then chapter 18 is in Corinth. Okay, so that's kind of what's happening. And let's go back to our passage. So when I set out from Macedonia, that's when he left Berea. Berea was the last place he worked in Macedonia on that trip. And so it says he left Berea, and we just looked at that on the map. I'm not going to read this, but Acts 17, verses 13 and 14 is when they sent him away from Berea. Okay? It says, not one church, during that time when he left Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving except who? The Philippian church, which is the first place he was on that map, right? So the Philippians in Acts 18, you know, so he's in Corinth in Acts 18, and we're going to take a look at also in 1 Corinthians 11:9, where Paul's writing to the Corinthian church. Remember, he's in Corinth now, and about how he was supported by people from Macedonia when he was in Corinth. So it says in verse 9, it says, when I was, this is him talking to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians 11:9. When I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I've kept myself from being a burden to you in any way and will continue to do so. So here we have people from Macedonia, but remember Paul says, even, you know, when I left Macedonia, nobody supported him except who? The Philippian church. One of the Macedonian churches did that. So it was Philippi that did that. Okay? The brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. So here we have the map again. And again, he's down here in Corinth. People up here in Philippi are sending aid to him in Corinth. Okay? And so, which is, you know, it's inconvenient. I mean, they can't just wire it to him, right? They can't even just send it through the U.S. mail. You know, U.S. mail wasn't providing service here at that point in time. You know, they had to find somebody to travel there. And they couldn't travel by plane. You know, I mean, this was a long trip. That was a pretty significant sacrifice for them to make. But there's more. But then he goes on, he says, even when I was in Thessalonica, let's stick on that map for just a minute longer. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. So here he's talking about, as he, in his original stop in Philippi, he gets escorted out of town, he goes to Thessalonica. Before he gets run out of town in Thessalonica, Philippi was sending money to Thessalonica. I say money, it might have been money, might have been food, might have been clothing, it's whatever it was he needed. They provided him from Philippi. But let's look a little deeper at that. In 1 Thessalonians, so we're talking about the letter that he wrote to the church in Thessalonica. He says, surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. So it wasn't that they were fully supported by Philippi. They also had a full-time job, so that they would not be a burden to the people as they preached to them. So their full-time jobs, they needed additional help, and they got that from Philippi. So the Philippians were sending money, but it wasn't a big gift, okay? They didn't have a lot, as it turns out. We learned a little bit about that. There's a later contribution. Let's talk about Philippi and their subsequent contributions to the Jerusalem church. There was a famine, there was lots of hardship in Jerusalem, and they were in need. And so there was a contribution that was being collected as Paul went around to different churches. And in chapter 8, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1 and 2, Paul says this, and now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to who? The Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in a rich generosity. So what does it tell you about the churches in Macedonia? I mean, extreme poverty. So all this giving coming out of Philippi wasn't because they just had deep pockets, right? These people were poor, but they wanted to send something. Maybe this is why they sent things again and again, because it's, here's a little bit, we managed to get this together, let's send that. And then here's a little bit because we got managed to get that. Here's some food, or here's this, here's that, whatever. Yeah, I'm sure it was whatever they could come up with. But they were constantly remembering, wanting to help people other places. And so let's go back to the most severe trial, extreme poverty. They were doing this in a time of hardship. But yet their attitude was overflowing joy and rich generosity. So, you know, a high calling for us. This is telling you something about the Philippian church, okay? Their outward mindset, right? They're in poor. They're in, this great hardship. And yet, they're thinking about somebody else's needs and not their own, okay? I mean, this is just normal people in the church, right? This is their attitude. like us. We are normal people in the church, right? And we could have that same kind of attitude. All right. And so, you know, again, back in Philippians, when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. So again, they were looking not to their own interests, but the interests of others, and they had the mindset of Christ, right? The same thing Christ did. Okay, so he says in verse 17, again, not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. So Paul also, in this conversation, is portraying the mindset of Christ. He says, I'm not sitting here asking you for money. He says, in fact, I'm delighted because now God's going to give you some blessings because of what you've done. Okay. He goes on in verse 18. He says, I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. So he's basically saying, that's okay. You don't have to send anymore. I'm okay. Okay. I'm amply supplied. But he says, God appreciates what you did. That's his point here. If you have the mindset of Christ, it pleases God, doesn't it? You know, he says, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Let's give acceptable sacrifices that are pleasing to God. And he says, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So again, God blesses people who have an outward mindset. Okay, he takes care of them. Doesn't mean that they're not going to be in poverty. Doesn't mean that they're not going to have hardship. But God blesses them, and they're able to be joyful, which is what happened with the Philippians. They were able to have that joy. So we have an opportunity to follow their example, don't we? Okay. What is our opportunity? We have a mission contribution, 2019 missions contribution, right? And who's going to be the people who are going to benefit from that contribution? We want to send some to Zambia. We want to send some to Haiti. And we're going to try to set some aside for a building fund here, right? So we're going to look not only to our own interests, but also to the interests of Zambia and Haiti here, right? And they have great needs. So we have an opportunity to be like the Philippians and to have the outward mindset, to be motivated by the needs of others to do things that we might not otherwise do. They're not natural for the average human being to do. We can have the mindset of Christ. So let's please do that. Okay. Final greetings. Okay, so we're at the end of the Philippian book. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. So where is he again? He's in Rome. Where in Rome? He's in house arrest, right? At the end of the book of Acts, we find out he actually was allowed to stay in a house, but chained to a Roman soldier. You know, it's not exactly a nice place to be. Sure, that Roman soldier wasn't real happy about that situation either, and you know, it probably wasn't the most pleasant company. But Paul, you know, he says that even people in Caesar's household knew about Christ, and you know, they were sending greetings to the other churches. They had converted people from Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So that's the book of Philippians. Let me ask you for some input here. We'll wrap up with this. What are some of the powerful words that, you know, that come to your mind from the four chapters of Philippians, from the whole book? If you had to boil it down to one word, and there's not just one word, but what word comes to your mind from the book of Philippians? Steve?
Joy.
Joy. You know, rejoice, right? Rejoice, rejoice. Here, there, everywhere. It's rejoice. Okay, what else? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Like-minded, okay, trying to reconcile the two, right, and be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose, right? Good. What else? Yes, sir. Be content. Okay, who else was content? Paul was content. Apparently, the Philippians even were content, right? Okay, yes, sir. Strength. Strength. Am I getting that right? Yeah. Okay. So the fact that there's a strength that's needed in order to do these things, and we see examples of it, right? Okay, Bill. Single-minded, right? I mean, Paul says, you know, his focus was on the resurrection, and he wanted to be like Christ and to know Christ. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
Mindset.
Having the mindset of Christ, right? Okay? The outward focus, outward mindset. So, well, I came up with a list, you know, and y'all have come up with a lot of mine. Rejoice. Talks about peace, you know, that the peace that passes understanding will be with you. Suffering, chapter 3, how much did Paul talk about suffering? He wanted to share in the suffering of Christ. You know, looking not to your own interest only, but also the interests of others. That's the outward mindset. Knowing Christ. Paul wanted to know Christ, wanted to know him better, right? He was looking forward to the resurrection, you know, somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. You know, he would talk about his prayers for them and asking for their prayers for him. And then, you know, as Moses said, the contentment, being content. So, you know, and you could come up with others, I'm sure. But this is kind of the way I put Philippians in a box, you know. But there's a lot more there. Philippians is a great, great book. It's hard to condense the book of Philippians because it's all, every piece of it is worth spending some time meditating on. But that's our book, our class on the book of Philippians, and thank you for your participation in the class. And we will now go pick up our kids, and in about 10 minutes, 15 maybe, we will start service here. Thank you.